Yeah, good morning, everyone. So in our group, different people in the group express what praise for each one. So we started with saying that prayer is communication with God. And we got this, the verse from the Bible saying, "My house should be called a house of prayer." So that came during our conversation. Then we also said that when we pray for the people that we love, for the people of the family, for the people in our family who needs something, improve their health, and feel better. We also said that prayer is to think of those people who are not saved. All the time be praying for those people. Then prayer is certainly can happen any place, any time, in any way. All you need is to have faith, be sincere, and believe in God. And then through the communication, what we describe is that when you pray, you really ask God for everything you need, not just present time, but for eternity. So that was a very very nice conversation.
That's awesome. All right, thank you, Vicente. Very well presented. It helps me too, because you know I it's like, oh wow, that's great. I'm glad that was said as well. And who wants to go next? Group one or three? Okay, you're three. Olivia, come on up. You can hold the mic.
No, because I have a low voice.
That's okay, the mic will pick it up.
Yeah, good morning, everyone. For our group, we came out with this. Prayer is about talking with the Lord during your quiet time. Pray all the time, and it should be constant. We pray for every family to have a stronger bond and foundation to walk together for the glory of God. Prayer is a conversation with the Almighty. We should listen and hear him clearly. Prayer can be dull and ritual if you don't recognize and hear God's voice. And also, before praying, we should ready ourselves by reading and meditating on God's word. Thank you.
Praise God.
See, you did awesome. You did really well. All right. And then we have group, last but not least, it was group one, right? Yes, okay. Are you coming up, Allie? Yes.
Good morning. Okay, what is prayers? Prayers, the one that we have in here, is a communication between you and God. It is a personal thing. It is a relationship with the Lord. We have the verses here. Before we go with the verses, it's what is the model prayer that the Lord has taught us, which is the Our Father. What is consists of the Our Father? First, you have to worship our Lord, our God. Next, you have to give thanks for all the things that you have done, that he has done for us. Third, you asked. Whatever you asked, it says that you will receive and his will be done in your life. And also, the last one that we have is forgiveness. If we ask the Lord for forgiveness, by his grace, he is always faithful to us. Okay, we have this verse, Philippians 4:6-7. Let's see here. I know you guys know this verse. It says, "Do not be anxious about anything, but in every situation, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your request to God, and the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and your mind in Christ Jesus." And also, one of the ladies shared this verse about prayers, which is 1 John 5:15. If we know that he hears us, Whatever we ask, we know that we have what we ask of him. That's it. Thank you.
Thank you, Ali. You guys did fantastic, honestly. That was great. Because you know what's good? What's good is when I hear that, that shows me, man, they're studying they're studying and they're praying. Because that's very comforting as well. So that's very good, and I will get into the topic of prayer today. Really, it's just going to be an add-on to what you already said or things that you guys already said. What I love too as well is that there was themes there that you guys talked about that it was evident throughout each one. You notice that? Group one, group two, group three. You all had something very similar, and then things that you just added on as well that was from Scripture. So that's wonderful, wonderful to know that. Saying that we're talking about prayer, let's pray, and then we're going to get into God's words today. Father, we thank you so much, Lord, for prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank you that you are so tender-hearted that you would even allow that for us to vent, to praise, to bear our soul to you. And even in the times when we're just mumbling it and saying it in a way that's not meaningful, you're still hearing us and correcting us and growing us. So, Father, you know we're talking about prayer today. So, God, I really want you to, your power of your Holy Spirit, to move in our hearts regarding prayer, because it's one of the basic, vital fundamentals of a Christian life. So, God, speak to our hearts today regarding what you want us to know, Father. And I thank you so much that you've given us the Holy Spirit. We thank you, Lord Jesus, for dying on the cross for our sins so that we now can have everlasting life and be forgiven of our sins and no longer be enslaved to sin, but enslaved and mastered by our great Creator. We serve you. We love you. We give our lives to you. I pray our hearts are really evident about that in the way we say it and also do it in action. And we thank you, Father. Knit our hearts together in Christ. We thank you, Father, for your love in this facility, and we thank you for all your blessings. May we use it for your glory. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, as you know, we're tracking through Luke chapter 7, the book of Luke. So go ahead and turn to Luke chapter 17. It's Luke chapter 18. So let's take a look at Luke verse 1 from chapter 18. Then he spoke a parable to them that men always ought to pray and not lose heart, saying, there was in a certain city a judge who did not fear God nor regard man. Now, there was a widow in that city, and she came to him saying, get justice for me from my adversary. And he would not for a while, but afterward he said within himself, though I do not fear God nor regard man, yet because this widow troubles me, I will avenge her, lest by her continual coming she weary me. Then the Lord said, hear what the unjust judge said. And shall God not avenge his own elect who cry out day and night to him, though he bears long with them? I tell you that he will avenge them speedily. Nevertheless, when the Son of Man comes, will he really find faith on earth? All right, let's go right back to verse 1. Then he spoke a parable to them that men always ought to pray and not lose heart. Here's something to know. Scripture has over 300 references to prayer. And Jesus was with his disciples how long? Anybody? About three and a half years. So Jesus was with his disciples three and a half years. So he wanted to and needed to teach about and point out the importance of prayer. Prayer is one of the vital, basic fundamentals for a Christian while he or she is still on earth. The first century church, when they first started out, they didn't have a template on how to start a church. You know, we have lots of books out there, right? You can go to the Christian bookstore out there in Burlington. Anybody been to that Christian bookstore? I love that bookstore there in Burlington. And it's got a huge library. And there's books there, and I'm not putting it down, I'm just saying that's a fact. There's books there to teach on how to plan a church, the ABCs on how to pray, how to evangelize, all that stuff. Now, did the first century church, did they have any of those books? None. So, the first century church didn't ask man on how to do spiritual stuff. They went straight to the source. when Jesus chose his disciples, you remember that back in Luke 6? What did he do? The first thing he said, and there was a verse there, I'm going to verse 12, and I'm quoting from this. It said here, and this is before he chose the disciples, "Now it came to pass in those days that he," that's Jesus, "went out to the mountain to pray." If our very own great example, and I'm putting a big G to great, and example has a big E, if our own very great example and teacher has a big T, you know why I'm saying that, if our very own great example and teacher, Jesus Christ, if he found it important to pray, and if there are over 300 references in the Bible, as well as many examples of men and women praying in this very Bible that you're looking at right now, what is our great God trying to tell us about prayer? That prayer to the genuine Christian is as vital as an engine is to an automobile. It is as vital as blood coursing through a human being. Now, it's so easy, right? Nowadays, technology, you can text your BFF, you can post on your favorite social media app right away, or you can make toast, you can microwave your food. You know, when you're driving the car, you don't think about it, you just brake. I mean, I think my wife was telling me yesterday about some guy, and I don't know, she told me it was on social media, I don't know if you guys seen this, but somebody showed a video or a picture of some guy sleeping in his Tesla, because he was sleeping there because the car was just on automatic going to its destination. So he slept in the car, wasn't driving the car. He was behind the steering wheel, and he was asleep. I'm not at that point yet that I can trust my car to drive me there. I don't know about you. Maybe you are. Great for you. But I'm still the guy that, you know, I drive a standard. It comes as second nature. I don't think in my mind, foot on clutch, first gear. Oh, stop light, put on brake. How many people do that? It's just like, once in a while I grind the gears. It's because I just, you know. But, you know, nobody thinks about stepping on the brake. You just do it. It becomes automatic. It's second nature. Well, guess what? Guess what prayer ought to be? Second nature. All of us, from a brand spanking new Christian to a grizzled veteran Christian, if I can say that, all of us, we need reminders about praying. Sometimes we need a refresher or to be reignited about the importance of prayer. Martin Luther once said, "To be a Christian without prayer is no more possible than to be alive without breathing." You notice in verse 1, Jesus said, always ought to pray. But do we do that? Listen, that it speaks to my heart. Do we get into methods? Do we read books about prayers? Listen, it all depends. It all depends on where you are at your stage in your Christian life regarding prayer. The first thing to do, here's the first thing I could ask you to do, because I don't know what stage you're at. You know, God knows, it's between you and God. But here's what I can tell you to do. What I would want you to do is to allow yourself an honest self-examination regarding your prayer life. I don't know. I'm not looking at anybody, so I don't know what your prayer life is, if it's a lack of prayer or you're just on fire. But I want you to take an honest self-examination of your prayer life. So, for example, you can use a scale of 1 to 10. 1 being super cold and 10 being super hot. Where are you on that scale? So do an honest self-examination of your prayer life. Then take it to God. Remember in the book of Ephesians, I want you to turn to the book of Ephesians, chapter 6. Remember in the book of Ephesians, Paul described the Roman armor. You guys remember that? What's the Roman armor? Shout it out. Helmet of, breastplate of, belt of. What about our feet? Shotted with the gospel of, shield of, and then the sword of the Spirit, right? You guys remember that? Ephesians 6. So if you want to turn there to Ephesians 6. So the Roman armor, and it was all used as an illustration, remember, for a Christian in a spiritual battle? Well, right after that, look at Ephesians 6, 18. Turn with me there, Ephesians 6, 18. And look at what the Apostle Paul said. He said, praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, being watchful to this end with all perseverance and supplication for all the saints. I remember my wife and I were at a golf course. It wasn't our turn to hit the ball, so we waited in our golf cart, and this guy walked up. He looked like he stepped off Golf Illustrated magazine. He walked up. He had the beautiful hat, beautiful. Wasn't even nothing, no sweat marks, no nothing. It was beautiful. He had the nice golf shirt, the Nike golf shirt. I don't know what. I'm just saying, it's really nice. He looked, you know, built like a golfer. I don't know what golfer build looks like, but he looked, you know, good. He looked good, athletic. Let's put it that way. He had the nice, you know, some of the golf pants are really kind of funky nowadays with bright colors. He had that bright color pants. He had the nice golf shoes. Everything. I mean, I thought in my mind, this guy's going to pound it down the driveway. Right down. Right, Vicente? When we see guys dressed like that, we think, man, this guy's going to step up and rip it. It's going to be, whoa, 300 yards. Well, he took a swing. And that golf swing did not match the outfit. He played military golf. What's military golf? Left, right, left, right. It was just, he was spraying it. Well, what's my point? You can have the shiniest armor, the best looking armor, the greatest, best technology that armor, that spiritual armor has to give. You know where I'm going with this. But if we don't pray, that armor is useless. It's like paper mache. Without prayer to God, that armor is useless. Here in the book of Ephesians, the Apostle Paul is teaching us five things about prayer. Ephesians 6:18. Here we go. Number one, Paul says to pray always. Number two, Paul says to pray in the Spirit. Number three, Paul says to be watchful in prayer. Number four, he says to persevere in prayer. And last but not least, number five, to make supplications to all the saints. So let's take a look at that. Let's take a look at that in light of what we're talking about today, in light of what you've shared. All I'm doing is adding on to what you've all wonderfully shared and thought about, getting our minds engaged regarding the fundamentals, the vital importance of what God is telling us about prayer. Here we go. So Paul says to pray always. Just like Jesus said here, men always ought to pray. Now listen, talking about prayer today, my goal isn't to make us feel guilty about prayers. You know, I don't know about you, but when a pastor or a senior pastor has talked about prayer, I felt guilty. You know, that just happens because maybe that week or, you know, I've had a bad week and so I never took it to the Lord and I feel guilty about prayer. That happens. If you're human, you might get times where a conversation or a pastor talking about something has made you feel guilty. Well, listen, my goal is not to make us feel guilty about prayer. I'm not trying to condemn you. But if the Holy Spirit is speaking to us individually and convicting our heart about prayer, then that's what he's doing. But listen, here's the good part. Yes, the Holy Spirit will convict us about prayer, but he doesn't want you stuck in guilt. He wants you to take action after the conviction. You get that? That's why it's okay. God has given us that natural ability to feel guilty and to feel convicted, but he doesn't want us to feel stuck in that conviction or that guilt. You get it? He wants you to take action after the conviction. That's a good thing. Why? How do we know that? Remember Romans 8:1 says there is therefore no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus, who do not walk according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit. So whether it's a lack of prayer or whatever it is the Holy Spirit is putting on your hearts or our hearts regarding prayer, maybe he's convicting us about prayer. Listen, God doesn't want you, he doesn't want me to stay condemned or stuck in the guilt phase about prayer, because that would be walking in the flesh, staying down and guilty. No, God wants us to take action in the Spirit. Did it ever occur to us? Did it ever occur to me? Did it ever occur to you that prayer, that privilege of being able to talk and hear from the Creator of everything, to be able to boldly approach his throne of grace for mercy and help, did it ever occur to us that prayer could also be a joyous, uplifting, life-giving experience? If my prayer life is not joyous, is not uplifting, is not a life-giving experience, it's very possible that we have been programmed to think that prayer is to be this sad, subdued, monotone discussion every time. Oh, God. Oh,
God. Oh, God.
Now, mind you, there are times when you will feel sad or upset, and so you got to take it to the Lord like that. But listen, I don't think that should be every time. Either that's what we've seen or heard as a baby Christian and grew up that way, or we've programmed our mind to think that prayer is to be this painful, forced, guilt-ridden type of thing. That's not biblical. A pastor said, for many, prayer creates anxiety or produces boredom. However, prayer is not meant to elevate anxiety, but to alleviate anxiety. It's the key to joy. And Ali said that already. Philippians 4, 6, and 7. Be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God, the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. So Paul in Ephesians says to pray always. And he also said to pray without ceasing. You remember that? And Jesus said something similar in what we've just read in Luke 18. Men always ought to pray. Now, I'm going to test you again. Can someone recite to me the apostles' doctrine? Remember the one in Acts chapter 2? Can someone tell me the apostles' doctrine? Just testing. Something, that's something for us to memorize, including myself. Apostles' doctrine, anybody? Going once, going twice, Acts chapter 2. Okay, let me say it for you. And they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship, in the breaking of bread, and in prayers. Notice the last three words said, and in prayers. The first century believers continued steadfastly in prayer. In other words, they prayed regularly. And here's the thing. I think many of us, including myself, listen, if we were totally honest with ourselves, I don't think we have our minds steadfast on God 24/7. Yes? It's not. Our minds, while we're here on earth, because we're still human, our minds are not steadfast on God 24/7. Now, I think our spirit would want us to desire us to do that. But while we're still on this earth, in this earthly body, and the flesh, remember, and the flesh wars against the spirit, the devil, our old sinful nature, the old Paul, the devil, and the part of the world that rejects God wants to throw every obstacle, every distraction at us so that we stumble in our prayer life. Yes? I'm going to defer this to you. Name me some distractions or obstacles that the devil, our own flesh, our old self, and the world would throw at us to get us off our prayer life. Shout it out. Anyone? What are things that would distract us from prayer? Say that. I can't hear you. Sorry. So that was quick. That was one of my social media. Anybody agree? Amen? All right. I get everyone's head nod. What else? Work. Sad as that seems, we need to work for money, but that can be a distraction to prayer. Anything else? There's lots out there. Vices, V-I-C-E-S? I'm sorry, can you explain that to me? I'm not as sharp as others. Yeah. Yeah. No, I love it. That was good. Thank you for explaining that for me. Thank you. Now I have another word I can throw in sermons in the future. Vices. But no, thank you. No, that means a lot. That's awesome. Everybody agree with that? Yeah. There are a lot of things. I mean, we can go on and on. There are a lot of things. Thank you for sharing that. Now, the reality is, when Paul said to pray always and pray without ceasing, he didn't mean, we know this, he didn't mean that we're to be perpetually in a prayer meeting on earth. I don't pray constantly when I'm sleeping. Anybody pray when they're sleeping? Now, there have been times when I've had a bad dream. I don't know if this happened to you, but I've had a bad dream. And by the grace of God, in my prayer, in my sleep, and the bad dream, I've actually was praying in my sleep. I don't know, I can't explain it to you, but that has happened by the grace of God. And that the dream just eventually went away. Or my wife knows that I am having a bad dream. She shakes me, and then she's praying for me. She tells me, I prayed for you that night. because you had a bad dream, and then it goes away. But generally, I don't pray in my sleep. Now, if you do, I give you two thumbs way up, and you are absolutely more spiritual than I am. But praying always simply means allowing prayer to be a natural part of your daily life. Remember, as I was saying, second nature? You don't think about putting on the brake. It's just second nature. Praying can be that as natural as that. Whatever we're doing on a daily basis, we can have a heart that's set on prayer to God. I can set my heart in an attitude of prayer, and as much as humanly possible, I can pray often to God. In fact, I want to do that right now. Let's pray right now at this moment. Bow our heads. Father, I pray that you would give us the heart and understanding of prayer, that we would do it more than we ought to, and we should just have the right attitude about prayer and show us how to pray. In Jesus' name, amen. You see how we just do it as we go along. Now, the wonderful thing about prayer is this. What's one of the most wonderful things about prayer? We can do it anywhere. We can pray as we're doing our daily routine. Anybody do that? In the car. Yes, thank you. I thought, you know, I know I'm not the only one, but yes, we can pray in our minds. You can talk to God out loud or in your mind anywhere, anytime, any place. Isn't that wonderful? Exactly what Michelle said. I pray when I'm driving to work in the morning in my mind. And the wonderful thing about prayer, and I don't know if you've done this with worship songs, you ever sing out loud during a worship song in your car? I have. I'm bellowing out. And then I could pray out loud as well or in your mind. And nobody thinks you're crazy because they think you're on Bluetooth. Now, if Jesus tells us to always pray, it also means that we should allow prayer to be the first thing we do, not as the last resort. There are people out there that do things first without talking to God about their plans, and when it doesn't pan out, they say sarcastically, okay, I guess I should have prayed about it. Corrie ten Boom, you know, everybody know who Corrie ten Boom said? She said this, is prayer your steering wheel or your spare tire? It should be our steering wheel. We should pray, then get to work. Even pray in the times we work, as we talked about. You notice I said pray and then get to work? There are those out there that will pray, then do nothing. Let me give you an example. Let's say I'm a student. The teacher says, tomorrow is going to be a pop quiz. And by the way, I'm sorry to tell you, I didn't like those in my days. But let's say the teacher says, pop quiz tomorrow. Yay! So I go, God, please help me. I really want to pass this pop quiz. So I prayed, right? Then my friend calls me up. Hey, you want to go see a movie? Yes, let's do it. I've always been wanting to watch that. Let's do it, man. Oh, I'll call this person. So we go watch a movie that night. Come back. It's 9 o'clock. We watch the 7 o'clock movie. Get home. I open my study book because I know I got to study for the pop quiz tomorrow. Then bing! Oh, they're texting me. Start, you know, texting back and forth, and I'm texting back and forth. And then, my Instagram, let me check what's going on there. Next thing I know, it's past my bedtime. Spent about 5 minutes on my test, right? Go to sleep. Let me ask you an obvious question. Do you think I'm going to pass that test? Now, I'm not a brainer like some of you out there that could just look at your book for 5 minutes and, right? But do you think I'm not the sharpest bulb in the shed, is that the word? Yeah. But anyways, do you think I would pass that test? Most likely not, right? It's okay. You could say, Paul, you probably failed. It's okay. It's okay to fail. God teaches us through that. We don't have to give awards to every single person out there. But you get what I'm saying? I don't think I'll pass. Was it because I didn't pray hard enough? Was it because I didn't pray often enough? No. Pray and then work. You notice, too, in the Old Testament, did God say, I shall deliver the enemy into your hands? And what did the Israelites do? Yeah! Woo! No. What did they have to do? They had to fight. They had to still get into battle. When God parted the Red Sea, did he just lift them up and just, they all lift, walk, they just flew across? No, they had to run, walk across, right? So pray and then get to work. Now Paul says to pray in the Spirit. Ooh. Here's a good way to pray in the Spirit. sounds so spiritual, right? It is, but we don't have to get so like deep and heavy about it. You want to know how to pray in the Spirit first? We just ask the Lord to lead us in prayer. For many of us, if not all of us, we all have a busy day. Some of us are working 5 to 6 times a week, and sadly, some guys are working 7 days a week. So our minds are multitasking, and we're doing things, it feels like 100 gazillion kilometers an hour. Anybody relate to that? Our minds are just racing. Things are going on. We're thinking about this ahead of time and doing all these things. So a lot of things running through our minds. Our hearts can also become a little cold and calloused, if truth be told. So we need the Lord to get our minds and hearts back on Him. So why not just ask Him to lead us in prayer? That's why sometimes you might hear me, and I might say before I start prayer here, I'll say, Lord, help me to pray in the Spirit and not in the flesh. I've heard some pray, Lord, please lead me in this time of prayer. Let me know the things that are near and dear to your heart. And you can say it however you want. To let the Lord know that you want Him to lead. To let Him know you want the Holy Spirit to lead you in prayer. Listen, when you're first starting out, especially in prayer meetings, you may not know how to word it, and you may stutter. I remember when I first started out, anybody remember their first prayer meetings? Let me know if you've thought of this. So in your first prayer meeting that you've joined, you've all of a sudden beautiful things started popping into your minds, in your mind, right? And you're in your mind, you knew exactly how you were going to pray it. And it was like, oh, it's like running through, and the wording, the verbiage was perfect. But then as soon as I opened my mouth, what I had in my mind did not match what came out of my mouth. Anybody agree? It's like, oh my God, what did I just say? It was horrible. That was, honestly, guys, I'm sorry, prayer meeting, that wasn't in my mind. I had more beautiful things than that. It wasn't that. Anybody relate to what I'm saying? Right. Listen. It was because I was nervous. It was because I was thinking what others would think about my prayers. I was embarrassed. But listen, let me tell you what. From experience, stop thinking like that. Stop thinking of yourself and just pray as God commands you. Keep your thoughts and hearts fixed on God. And it's really like anything else in life. Think about it. The more you do it, the easier it becomes. True? The more you do it, the easier it becomes, the more natural it becomes. Because the Holy Spirit, if you've confessed Jesus as your Lord and Savior, you have the Holy Spirit in you. The Holy Spirit who raised Christ from the dead resides in the believer. If that's the case, then listen, He will strengthen you in that area of prayer. As you exercise your faith in prayer, plus as you study the Bible and go to prayer meetings, you will hear how others pray and how they become comfortable with how God leads them. And if God leads them, God surely leads you. If you genuinely are seeking and willing to allow God to lead your prayer life. Now here's something I want to share with you, what I find amusing about some prayers. So just listen up here. Be careful, and I don't think any of you are doing this, but I just, again, these are reminders, refreshers. Be careful that your prayers don't sound like, I want to make a point prayer. What's that, I want to make a point prayer? Let me give you an example of what a point prayer is. It's as if you're pointing out a problem about other people or that person. So here's a fictitious example. Heavenly Father, I know your words say, be quick to listen and slow to speak. So help my wife listen to me more and to stop nagging me. That's a making a point prayer. And now my wife is in front of me while I'm saying that. Can you see the problem that's going to happen there? And here's another one. Sometimes prayer can sound like sermons. What do I mean by that? Where we sound like we're just teaching the other people that are with us in the prayer rather than praying to God. And that person goes on and on and on. And it feels like 3 hours. It's like they're forgetting that there's others around that may want to join in prayer. Oh, and here's the other one, which, again, I don't think any of you are doing, but, again, just refreshers, those big, fine-sounding words. Unless that's the way that you really speak and are actually led by the Spirit, then fine. Use the big, fine-sounding words. But if I'm acting in my prayer, to impress God, listen, God is not impressed by my prayers. Or to make people notice me,
God, oh, the great God, almighty Father God, thee is thou is thee, thou God.
I'm like, wow, I think the spotlight just went on that guy right there. Boom! Like, you know, the guy's trying to make it about him, right, rather than praying to God. Now, none of these, I feel, are praying in the Spirit. Praying in the Spirit could also mean, I know you guys have had this, you get a visual of a person's face or an event or a situation or the thought of a person or an event or situation. And you may get this throughout the day. It's very possible that God is leading you to pray about the person or situation or event. Or you may be led to pray in tongues. And God does allow that as it relates to what is taught in these scriptures. The Holy Spirit may also guide you in very specific prayers or guide you to be specific in your prayers. Listen, you want to be specific in your prayers at times as God guides you because, listen, it's no different. If I go to a clothing store and they say, hey, can I help you? I said, yeah, just give me whatever's off the rack. Does that make sense? Do you ever go to a restaurant and just say, give me whatever's on the menu? Now, typically you say, I want, you know, item number one, item number two, and be specific. So be specific with God. By the way, and I believe somebody mentioned it here regarding prayer. But you cannot be praying in the Spirit if you have bitterness and unforgiveness in your heart. You cannot be praying in your spirit, in the Spirit, if you have forgiveness and bitterness in your heart. Get that taken care of first with God. Praying in the Spirit also means this, being open and honest to our Heavenly Father. Remember, He's omniscient. What does that mean? What does omniscient mean? He knows everything. So don't you think, if I'm not open and honest with God, don't you think he already knows what's going on in my head? Then Pastor Paul, what's the point of praying to God if he knows everything? What is the point? Anybody think of what? Wait a sec. You know everything, God. What's the point of praying? Because prayer changes us. It doesn't change him. Prayer changes us. You're trying to get your heart in line with his heart. So Paul says to pray always. He also says to pray in the Spirit. Then Paul says, be watchful in prayer. Another way of saying this is to be on guard or to be alert. If you can picture a world leader, remember to be alert, on guard. Remember the world leaders, that whenever you see a world leader, who's behind them or beside them? Security guards. And are the security guards just kind of like, I'm kind of hungry. No, they're alert, they're watching, they're on guard. The difference is with the Christian is this. They go to prayer when the alarm bells ring. When there's a problem and a bad situation, when there's a sense of a spiritual attack coming, we immediately pray. Why? Because the 2 Corinthians says, for though we live in the world, we do not wage war as the world does. Pay attention to these verses. The weapons we fight with are not with the weapons of the world. And we mix this in with Ephesians 6 that we're in right now. For our struggle is not against what? Flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the powers of this dark world, and against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly realms. So that's why it's important to pray when you sense a spiritual attack and to pray for others. By the way, something to think about. Have you ever noticed that the saints in the Bible did not speak directly to the devil? I know Eve did, but we know what happened there. When you're under spiritual attack from the adversary, why would you want to speak to them directly? Why would you want to speak to the devil directly? When even Mike the archangel, as if I'm buddy, Michael the archangel, you remember what he said in Jude? When he was contending with the devil, all he said was, the Lord rebuke you. You want God Almighty between you and the devil. Pray to God and talk to him and thank God for protection. Now, Paul also talks about to persevere in prayer. Persevere in prayer. You know, some have stopped persevering in prayer. Here's one of the reasons why some have stopped persevering in prayer. It's because of the limitation they have in their mind. It's like they've placed that limitation on God, thinking that God is like their limitation. Oh, this problem I'm in, I'll never get out of it. I'm in way too deep, and it's too overwhelming. I prayed it over and over again. You haven't answered, God. So we think God can't solve it. or God's too busy for you and your problems, so you just give up. No. God would have you to, as he says here, persevere in prayer. Remember Jesus said in verse 1, right, in Luke 18, he says, and not lose heart. In other words, don't give up. Remember Luke 11, 9, we were in previously. So I say to you, ask, and it will be given to you. Seek, and you will find. Knock, and it will be opened to you. We may have to keep knocking. We may have to keep asking. We may have to keep seeking. Our limitations, remember, we're human. Our limitations are not God's limitations. A cancer and a cold are no different to God. You get what I mean by that? A cancer and a cold are no different to God. One is not harder than the other for God to heal according to his will. Listen to this in Colossians 4:12. Epaphras, one who is one of you and a servant of Christ Jesus sends greetings. He is always wrestling in prayer for you. You hear that? He is always wrestling in prayer for you, that you may stand firm in the will of God, mature and fully assured. Listen, let's just call a spade a spade. Let's just call it what it is. Sometimes prayer can be hard. It can be. But God wants us to keep praying. It was once said, listen to this quote, it is easy to lose heart in prayer because the devil hates prayer. If prayer were powerless, it would be easy. I know I have a few things in my life that I'm personally praying for, and God hasn't answered. And it's been years upon years, I've been praying, but I don't believe God wants me to stop praying. He wants me to persevere in prayer. And you guys probably know stories out there. I know of a good friend of mine that he was a heathen for years, but they're his daughters. He has two daughters. And they were Christians before he became a Christian. You know what they did? They prayed. Oh, did God answer their prayer in 3 months? No. How about 3 years? No. How about 30 years? No. 50 years? Yes. They did not stop praying for their dad for 50 years. They could have given up at any time, but they didn't stop praying. And you know what? His dad accepted Christ 50 years from the time that they started praying. Praise God. Praise God for people like that. You know what? Our perceived silence from God from our prayer request should be accepted as not our will, but thy will be done. Denied prayer requests from God should also be accepted as not our will, but thy will be done. Remember, our Father knows what's best for us. So denied prayers, he knows. I mean, if your son came up to you, your little daughter, your little son came up to you and says, I want to eat chocolate for breakfast, lunch, and dinner. Are you going to say, okay, and I want to eat that like 7 days a week? Okay. Are you going to say that? No, you would deny them their prayer request because you know it's not good for them. I know it's a silly example. I'm trying to get your mind wrapped around that idea that, hey, when God doesn't answer our prayer, it's to benefit us. However, strongly I want you to consider this. Silence from God from your prayer request. Silence from God from your prayer request may also be answered by some of these following verses. James 4:3. You ask and you do not receive because you ask with wrong motives so that you may spend it on your pleasures. Oh, that resonates in my heart. Anybody realize that that was a verse that kicked into gear there for you? Yeah, it kicked into gear for me. Proverbs 28:9. He who turns away his ear from listening to the law, even his prayer is an abomination. Strong words, but that's our God. He wants to let us know. Isaiah 1:15. So when you spread out your hands in prayer, I will hide my eyes from you. Yes, even though you multiply prayers, I will not listen. Your hands are covered with blood. Isaiah 59:2. Listen to this one. But your iniquities. What's iniquities? Sin. But your iniquities have made a separation between you and your God. And your sins have hidden his face from you so that he does not hear. These are hard words, but something for us to pay attention to. Take your specific sins to God. Genuinely ask for forgiveness and be strengthened not to sin in those areas, and Jesus will freely forgive and strengthen you. That's the great news. Then Paul mentions to us to make supplications for all the saints. Do you know, I can tell you because I've heard this, do you know that there are other churches praying for you? Do you know that? We think sometimes, oh, it's just my brother and sister that attends this church right now. There are other churches out there that we don't even know of that they're praying for us. They're praying for us. You notice that the verse says, all the saints. Now, Paul's not talking about the Catholic saints like St. Thomas Aquinas. Paul's referring to all Christians around the world. And I think somebody mentioned it. Who should we be praying about? Shout out some names, some people. Who could we be praying for? Everybody, name some. Thank you. Anybody pray for Justin Trudeau? You may not like him. I'm not going to get political here, but you may not like him. But do you pray for him? Have you ever thought of that? How about your boss? How about your school teachers that are taking care of your kids? How about the people that are protecting us? Police officers, firefighters. Right? There's so many people to pray for. It can't just be a comfortable prayer about our own family. I'm not saying that's wrong. Like, we want to pray for ourselves and our own family. But there are so many people to pray for. That's why he says pray. And also, yeah, they may not be saints. But yes, we can also pray for our brothers and sisters in Christ who are being persecuted around the world. Do you know that? All the saints, it says there. Do you know why prayer to God is also important for you and for me? Do you know why prayer is important for us as well? Because we've been going through prayer. It's like, okay, I'm getting the idea here, Paul, prayer. Here's why it's also important for you and I. Because it places everything back in perspective while we're still on this crazy world. You know what I mean by that? Well, remember what it says in the beginning of the Lord's Prayer that Ali talked about? Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. So why does God want us to start our prayers with who he is? Why does God want us to acknowledge in prayer things like who made the earth and everything on the earth, and by his mighty hands he stretched out the heavens? Why would God want us to tell him who he is and what he's doing? Is it because he's an egomaniac? Thank you. You hear what Michelle said, that reminder. We don't say these things to benefit him. He knows exactly who he is and what he does and what he can do and what he did. We say these things, as Michelle said, to benefit us, to put everything in its proper perspective, that he is God eternal and above, and we're the little people here on earth. Nothing's impossible for him. Now, in saying this, I want you to turn back to Luke chapter 18. In saying this, here's another perspective Jesus wants to tell us about him. Look back again on verse 18, let's go to verse 2, Luke 18, verse 2. So Jesus is saying this in verse 2, saying there was a certain city, a judge who did not fear God nor regard man. Now there was a widow in that city, and she came to him saying, get justice for me from my adversary. And he would not for a while, but afterward he said within himself, though I do not fear God nor regard man, yet because this widow troubles me, I will avenge her, lest by her continual coming she weary me. You got that right? Now, is Jesus comparing God? Is Jesus comparing himself to that judge? No, because that judge could care less about that woman. It's like, she's just annoying. She just keeps knocking and knocking and knocking and knocking. I'm just going to give her what she wants because she's annoying me. So this story is not a story by comparison. It's a story of contrast. Jesus is saying this. If an ungodly man responds to the persistence of a woman who he cares nothing about, how much more would our tender-hearted Heavenly Father listen to his very own children who persevere in prayer? You get that? So not only is a very big God, we already talked about that, he's a big God. Hallowed be thy name, thy kingdom come. God our Father in heaven. But he's also loving, tender-hearted. He's our loving, tender-hearted Heavenly Father. Look at verse 6. Then the Lord said, hear what the unjust judge said. And shall God not avenge his own elect who cry out day and night to him, though he bears long with them? I tell you that he will avenge them speedily. These will also be comforting words to many of the followers of Jesus after his crucifixion and his ascension. The followers of Jesus during that time would come under heavy, heavy persecution. Today, I believe this verse has comforted and will comfort many of our persecuted brothers and sisters in Christ around the world. And shall God not avenge his own elect who cry out day and night to him? Though he bears long with them, I tell you that he will avenge them speedily. And last but not least, continuing on in verse 8, look at there in chapter 18. Nevertheless, pay attention to this, when the Son of Man comes, will he really find faith on the earth? You know, to pray to God our Father, who we cannot see, true, we pray to our God and we cannot see him yet. To pray and make supplication to our Heavenly Father, knowing that he may actually not grant your prayer request because he knows what's best for us. So to pray to God who we don't see yet, to pray to God to make requests and supplication, but know that we may not get that answered, think about that. That takes faith, right? That takes faith. So when the Son of Man comes, will he really find faith on earth? If you're writing while I'm speaking here, I want you to write this down. Prayer is a demonstration of faith in our Heavenly Father. Can I say that again? Prayer is a demonstration of faith in our Heavenly Father. Here's a truth that may be hard to swallow, but if I don't pray, I'm demonstrating a lack of faith to God. No prayer, no faith. Simple as that. Lack of prayer seems to tell me that I don't believe that God is working today. Now, when Jesus says, when the Son of Man comes, will he really find faith on the earth? Do you think Jesus is asking that question because when he comes, he's like, oh, I didn't know he was faithful. I thought you were faithful. How come he's unfaithful? Do you think that's what God meant? No. It's not that God doesn't know who is faithful or not faithful. Rather, this is a question to spur us on, to encourage us, to remind us, to awaken us to be faithful and to pray. So that's why I strongly recommend, my brothers and sisters, I will strongly recommend to you that I would please that you would consider plugging in with someone to pray with. Get together with somebody and pray and be prayed for. Again, I remind you that we have our prayer meetings on Thursday nights. Now, let me give you some parting thoughts before I end. A pastor said this, prayer voices our dependence on God. Pray simply. Read scripture while you pray. If you want, you can start a prayer journal to document your prayers and answered prayers. That's another reason why you pray specifically, because if God answers your detailed prayer, you know the Lord answered it. Pray in real time. For example, as you kiss your spouse, hug your kids, shop at a store. We talked about that. Use a prayer template like the Lord's Prayer. I think Ali talked about that. Or you can try the acronym ACTS, A-C-T-S. A stands for adoration. C stands for confession. T stands for thanksgiving. And S stands for supplication. If you want to try that out. I'm not saying you have to do that, but it's just getting our minds thinking about praying. By the way, and I feel like I'm preaching the choir here, but the very first prayer that most people in the world need to be saying is the prayer that they believe in Jesus Christ as the Son of God, who died for their sins and is alive today. They need to ask for forgiveness of their sins and repent and ask for Jesus Christ to be on the throne of their life. That's the first prayer most people need to say first. Then they can get into the stuff that we talked about today. But the very first prayer that most people, if not everybody in this world, almost everybody in this world need to say is the prayer to accept Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior. Remember that Jesus lived a prayerful life. What a great example. And he also, right now, think about this. He also lives to pray for his people. What do you mean, Pastor Paul? Hebrews 7:25, if you want to write this down. Therefore, he is also able to save to the uttermost those who come to God through him, since he always lives to make intercession for them. Amen. I'm going to pray, and then we're going to end off with a worship song, and I'll have the worship team come up as I pray. And let's pray, and then we'll leave on a worship song. God, our Father, God, here we are talking about prayer, and now we want to end off, obviously, in prayer. All these things that we have said to one another regarding prayer, please assemble it in our hearts and minds to make it real for us, so that we would not only think about it, but we would do it. It's one of the hardest things. It's supposed to be so simple from what I understand in Scripture, but it's one of the hardest things to do because the devil, our old self, the way the world wants us not to pray. And so, Father, I pray that we, Father, would, as you know where our prayer life is, Father. I pray that you would help us in our prayer life. God, I pray and ask that you would give us the desire to pray. God, I pray and ask that you would help us to be real with how we pray and learn about prayer. Even those that are grizzled veterans, Father, I pray that you would help us to learn more about prayer because we haven't arrived, regardless of how long we've been, Father, as you know, as a Christian. God, I pray we would pray for our leaders. We would pray for those that are being persecuted. There's so many things to pray for, God. I pray you would help us to be the Christian that would talk to you. And also not just talk and just babble on in prayer, but also to listen to you through your words in the Bible as well. God, I thank you for how you're shaping and molding us. I thank you, Lord, that you've given us another day to be able to glorify you. May we really be real with that and authentic Christians that glorify you with each passing day you give us until you take us home. Bless my brothers and sisters, Father. Thank you so much for them. I'm the love that you have for them. I'm so thankful for the love that you have for each and every one of them. So much love and tender care for them. And thank you for the times of correction, Lord. That it's hard sometimes, those times of correction, but I know you're doing it to benefit us, to make us more Christ-like. So we love you and praise you, Lord. And as we leave in song, may we really be singing unto you with all our heart, mind, soul, and strength. We love you, Father. Help us, Lord, to love, serve, and share Jesus. We ask this in your precious name, your Son, Jesus Christ. Amen. If you'd like to stand, we're going to go ahead and end off in a worship song.